The scripture tonight is from Job chapter 3, verses 11 through 14. Job 3, 11 through 14. Why did I not die at birth, come out from the womb, and expire? Why did the knees receive me, or why the breast that I should nurse? For then I would have lain down and been quiet. I would have slept, then I would have been at rest.
They call them listening tours. This is when a politician will go around, maybe before they're running for an election, or perhaps after they've lost an election, in order to talk and to listen to those potential voters. And they do this to really find out, maybe why did we lose this election? Why did we not get the votes that we needed? This is kind of a recent phenomenon for them to go around, because usually politicians are spending their time talking and not listening. Business leaders are also doing the same kind of thing. They'll try to go to customers. They might go to their employees to listen and hear what is going on in their own lives and why they might want to purchase that product or what they could do better as the leader of their business for their employees. Well, in that same kind of idea, the leadership here at North MacArthur thought it would be wise to do a listening tour, if you will, with our widows and widowers. The staff and the elders, we put on a luncheon a couple weeks ago for our widows and widowers for the express purpose of listening to them, listening to their struggles, listening to ways that we can help and we can serve them, listening to things that are on their minds, listening to what they are going through. And through that process, we have a few different ideas, and tonight I would like to share with you some of the things that they said, but first I'd like to look at some of the things the Bible says about widows specifically, but I think it also applies to widowers as well. Now, as I was studying, I looked at the Greek word for that we translate widow. The Greek word, I'm no scholar, so I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. But the root of that Greek word, it was very interesting to me. The root of that Greek word literally means chasm, vacancy, or gulf. A chasm, a vacancy, a gulf. And isn't that what a widow or a widower is experiencing? This empty space in their life where their loved one used to be. And when you go through that kind of experience, it shapes you. It changes the way that you live, and it changes the way that you think in many different ways. Now, you see, God, He has always had a very special concern for widows. He's always had a special concern with those that might need a little help. In the Old Testament, especially, it was people who didn't have land to provide for their needs. So we're going to run through a few different verses. Some will be up on the screens, and we won't take too much time looking at these, but I just want us to really think about God's special concern with widows and widowers. Now think back to the garden. Adam and Eve, they're in the garden, but before they're even in the garden, as God is creating everything, He looks and He says, "This is good. Light is good, land is good, the birds, the fishes are good." The only time He ever says something is not good is when He sees that Adam is alone. Because God created us as social beings. This really reflects the whole, the nature of God as Father, Son, and Spirit. God is a social being. He's a being that's made to love, or He's a being who is love, and we were made to show love as well. Now, of course, I'm not saying that you have to be married to be a real Christian. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that we are meant to be in community. We are meant to be with others who love us. And hopefully we find that in the church. But God has always thought that He's wanted to take care of those who have lost their loved ones. And God, He codified this in the law. If we look at Exodus chapter 22, starting in verse 21, "You shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you are sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry and my wrath will burn. I will kill you with the sword and your wives shall become widows and your children fatherless. That's pretty harsh. Do not mistreat the widows. Later on in Deuteronomy chapter 10, Moses writes for us God's words, starting in verse 12. And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and the statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your own good. Behold, to the Lord your God belongs heaven and the heavens of heavens, and the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are to this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great and the mighty and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. Now listen to this. He executes judgment for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God, he who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in heaven. Moses is telling them, you were less fortunate when you were in Egypt. You were mistreated. You had a hard time. Well, you need to make sure that you treat the sojourner, the widow, the fatherless. Make sure that there is justice for them. Make sure that they are taken care of. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 24, Moses writes again, starting in verse 17, starting in verse 17, you shall not pervert the justice due to the sojourner or to the fatherless, or take a widow's garment in pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. He's basically saying, don't take advantage of a widow by trying to take their garment in pledge. Again, just a couple chapters later in chapter 26, verse 12, when you have finished paying all the tithe of your produce in the third year, and which is the year of tithing, give it to the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, so they may eat within your towns and be filled. You see, God had provided for the Israelites a way for them to make sure the widows were provided for by part of their tithe. Wasn't just for the temple, wasn't just for the tabernacle, wasn't just for the work of the Lord, but part of that tithe was for those who couldn't provide for themselves. And again, hopping over in chapter 27, verse 19, cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, amen. You see, God, in his infinite wisdom, always wanted widows to be taken care of. He codified it in law. And these laws were very unique to the people of Israel. These weren't like the laws that other people had. You might, if you study any ancient Near Eastern kind of the laws, the Code of Hammurabi, they didn't have the same provisions for widows in those neighboring countries. And you see, the problem with the Israelites, they had a lot of problems, but one of the main problems with the Israelites, they forgot to obey these commands. They started bringing in some idolatry, that was a big problem, but they also stopped living for justice for the widow and the fatherless. And so God sends the prophets, and he tells them some of the things that they do wrong. And listen to some of the things that the prophets highlight of the problems of the Israelites. Isaiah chapter 1, starting in verse 21. How the faithful city has become a whore. She has who was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your best wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone who loves a bribe and runs after gifts, they do not bring justice to the fatherless, and the widow's cause does not come to them. You see, the people in charge of the nation of Israel had stopped listening to the cause of the widows. They didn't care how they were being mistreated. They didn't care if they were being provided for. Again, Jeremiah also says in chapter 7, starting in verse 5, "For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice on one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever." So Jeremiah, as he's writing this, this is right before the southern nation of Judah is taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And what does he say? There's an escape hatch for you. As long as you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow. Of course, we know they did not change their ways, and they were taken into captivity. Again, in Zechariah chapter 7, Zechariah writes for us, starting in verse 8. "And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another, do not oppress the widow and the fatherless, the sojourner or the poor. Let none of you despise evil against one another in your heart. But they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. They made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by his spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great anger came from the Lord of hosts. As I called and they would not hear, so they called and they would not hear, says the Lord of hosts." You see, Zechariah is telling them, if you had just listened to these former prophets, if you had just stopped these evil ways of oppressing the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, the poor, if you had looked out for their needs, this calamity that is about to come on you would not happen. You see, God always had this plan that he wanted those who had needs to be taken care of. Even in Psalm 146, he reveals his own heart by saying that the Lord watches over the sojourners, he upholds the widows and the fatherless. Now, this doesn't just stop in the Old Testament, that God all of a sudden forgets about this group of people. But Jesus, he continues the same idea in Mark chapter 12. Mark and in Luke chapter 20, as Jesus is saying these things, he's calling out the scribes. A lot of people like to think about Jesus as this guy full of love and mercy. Some might say Jesus went a little Old Testament on them here in Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 38. "And in his teaching, he said, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." You see, Jesus is calling out their mistreatment of the widows, taking advantage of them, taking their houses. And it seems that Jesus' mom quite possibly was a widow for a part of Jesus' life. We don't hear about Joseph after his family goes to the temple and he's 12 years old. So many people think perhaps Joseph died. And so as we see in John chapter 19, as Jesus is on the cross, what is he thinking about? Where are his thoughts at? John chapter 19, starting in verse 25. "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to his disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home." You see, Jesus, his main concern as he's dying, as he's bearing our sins on the cross, he's concerned about his widow mother. And this doesn't stop with Jesus. It continues on in the early church. In Acts chapter 6, we won't read all of it, but in Acts chapter 6, they wanted to make sure the widows were taken care of. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. One of the first controversies of the early church was how do we make sure all of our widows are not going hungry? And it seems by 1 Timothy chapter 5, as Paul is writing that, that they had developed a whole process, a whole role for widows to be provided for. And so this morning, as we read through James chapter 1, and we looked at the end of James, Tim gave us a great command to be doers of the word and not just hearers. And James, one of the things that we highlighted this morning, James writes in chapter 1, verse 27, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." You see, when James is writing that, he's writing that with all the history of the law, the prophets, the Psalms, Jesus, the early church, all of that is in the background as he writes this, wanting the readers of his letter to look out for widows. Now, as we mentioned this morning, that word visit widows and orphans is not just a stop by and see how they're doing. The Greek word there, it has the same root as overseer, another name for elders. It's really going in there. What James has in mind is you to go in there and to try to see what needs you can take care of for that widow. Because in reality, some have no one else to care for them. But Kyle, you might say, what about Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 about the widow's own family taking care of her? That doesn't absolve us from the responsibility of taking care and visiting our widows here at North MacArthur. Paul doesn't mean that just because a widow has any living relative nearby that that completely releases us from responsibility. He's specifically referring to financial help. And so Paul doesn't contradict James in what he says. We must do what James says and truly visit our widows and widowers by seeing and trying to take care of some of their needs. Now, I'm not exactly sure if Terry Johnson is a widow or widower or what his history is. But I think, as we talked about this morning, we're really thinking about those who are vulnerable. And with Terry, after falling this past week, he fits into the category that James was thinking about. And so, like I said, Terry had fallen and he'd hurt himself a week before last. And so after the recovery meeting Saturday morning, Tim Despain and Mike Perkins went over to visit Terry to go in and to see, is there some need that they could help him with? And when they got there, they found him at the bottom of his stairs in a pool of blood. You see, if Mike and Tim had not gone over to visit, more than just to pop in and see how he's doing, but to really help him, Terry might not be with us today. We must be mindful of the most vulnerable among us. So what can we do specifically to help our widows and widowers? Well, during the luncheon, we received some feedback of some practical things that we can do to help our widows and widowers. Now, widows and widowers, this is not something that I would think of. I'm not in that situation, so I would never have thought of some of these things. But they had a few different kind of main concerns as a widow or widower in the 21st century. One of the first things they talked about is they have a fear for their safety. One widow told us, "I don't like to go to the grocery store alone. I feel unsafe in the parking lot." I can't tell you how many times I go to the grocery store and I don't even give it a second thought as I pull into the parking lot and I walk around. If it's fear of cars or fear of other people, I'm not sure, but they feel unsafe going to the grocery store, getting what's essential for them to live. Another widow said, "When workers come to my house, I always have friends come over to be with me." She felt unsafe that these strangers would be working in her house. Another widower said, "It would be nice if parents accompany their children from class to worship. The ramp from the old building to the main building is truly a danger zone." That's not something I would have thought of. They also don't want to be taken advantage of. One of our widows said, when we need maintenance on our home or a vehicle, we don't know who to trust. Who's going to come and actually do the thing they tell us to do? Anytime I feel like I pull into Jiffy Lube, they seem like they're going to try to have us do a bunch of extra services on my car, even though I know that isn't needed. They don't want to be taken advantage of. Another widow said, when making a large purchase like a washer or dryer, it is helpful to have a male perspective. They ask different questions. They look at things in a different way. Another widow said, I lived on an acreage when my husband died. There were a lot of things that needed to be sold, such as vehicles and tools. I didn't know what a fair price would be for those things. I needed advice on the value of the equipment. She needed help. That reminds me of Deuteronomy 20:24, where he talks about the widow's garment in pledge. That's essentially them taking advantage of a widow in the same way she did not want to be taken advantage of. Another main concern for our widows is loneliness. Being home alone can get very, very lonely. One widow says, it's really hard coming home to an empty house, not just because of a safety concern, but because it is empty. I'm lonely. This sometimes prevents me from even wanting to leave the house. These are good, God-fearing women who love the Lord and want to be here every time the doors are open, but they dread having to return home. Another widow said, since I am at home alone, I don't have much human contact, so I appreciate a hug or just a conversation, someone to talk to during the week. As I was preparing for this lesson, I came across a study from the UK. It found that 22% of British seniors will have a conversation with no more than three people over the span of an entire week. So that's one in five older adults in Britain don't have a conversation with someone every single day. How sad is that? Just a simple phone call can really brighten someone's day. For some of our widows and widowers, the only time they even have human contact is when they come here at church. So make an effort to talk to them. Many would appreciate a hug or even a handshake. Another widow said, I appreciate those who come visit me, especially those who come caroling at Christmas. What a great way to serve our widows and widowers, to go and carol during Christmas. Now, the widows weren't just, oh, it's me, I need all this help. They also wanted to serve. One of the widows said, I don't want just to be visited. I would like to make visits and take meals to others. I just need someone who's willing to go with me. I just need someone to drive me there. I'm happy to make visits. Another widow said, I don't want to just be served. I also want to serve, to do something worthwhile. I'd like to send letters and cards to missionaries, to college students, especially to those who have no family in the area. Now, all of this time, as we're sitting and we're listening, we're getting good ideas of some of the things we can do and implement here at North MacArthur. And what I hope as we leave tonight, that we all try to talk with some of our widows and widowers. Now, one of the widows did tell, here are some things not to say, especially right after someone has just lost. Now, as for one who perennially puts his foot in his mouth, these were very helpful for me. I'm always happy to have a list of things not to say. That really helps me a lot. One of the things she said was, you expected this, right? He was sick for so long. You know, we might say things as a way to comfort, but really all they do is hurt. Another thing, you might have had more time together if you would have tried this other treatment. That's just not helpful for someone in grief. You must be relieved you don't have to be a caretaker. Well, it's really just God needed another angel. Or some might say, well, he's in a better place now. That doesn't help this widow right here in the present. Or you might say, the Lord needs him more than you do. While that might be true, but that's not helpful at all. Another question we should never say, when are you going to quit wearing your rings? When are you going to get rid of his clothes and his other things? I sure hope he took care of you financially. And I think the one that we've all said, I know how you feel. You see, grief is such an individual journey. Everyone goes through it differently. Even those who have lost a spouse, maybe one for 50 years, one for 10 years, they'll have a different experience. We should never say, I know how you feel. Although we're trying to comfort them, sometimes these things that we say, they just hurt. Now don't worry, I also have a list of some things you should say. One of the things she said was to ask about their loved one. Say their loved one's name. That is actually comforting to them. It might bring some sadness, and yet it also brings forth memories. Ask them to share a memory of their loved one with you. An especially helpful thing to say is there something I can help you with? When you go over to visit, is there something I can help you with? And if you are going to visit, one of the things that is most helpful is, can I come over? So call beforehand and ask them, can I come over today to visit you? Now I want to conclude by looking back at the scripture reading from Job. So turn over to Job chapter 2. I think I sent the wrong message there to Chris. Job chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. Now see, when we find Job in chapter 2, he has lost everything. He's lost his wealth. He's lost his children. His wife has left him. His faith is failing. Job is really at the lowest of lows. So let's read again, focusing in on Job's friends in Job chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that had come upon him, they came each from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamanite. They made an appointment together to show him sympathy and comfort him. And when they saw him from a distance, they did not recognize him. They raised their voices and wept, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads towards heaven. And they sat with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and they spoke, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was great. You see, if the book had ended there, if Job would have only been a two-chapter book, Job's friends would have gone down in history as some of the greatest friends of all time. They were there with Job as he was grieving in his lowest of low. But of course, as we continue reading the next 35 chapters, they're all trying to blame Job for why this happened to him. So they were very unhelpful friends. But at the end of the book, Job does cry out to God, but God never actually answers him why he was suffering. God never actually explains why Job went through all this. Because we really don't know why we have some pain and the suffering in the world. All we can do is try to be like Job's friends in chapter 2 only and just be with people. Be with people in their grief. Be with people in their pain. Be with people in their suffering. So my challenge for all of us tonight is to be doers of the word, of this specific word of James chapter 1, to visit our widows, to do this pure and undefiled religion by reaching out to the widows and widowers here at North MacArthur. And a few ways we can do that. First of all, we can go visit them. Again, not just to go to chat, but go and to see, is there something we can really help them with? Another thing we can do is find a widow we don't know. Find one that you haven't met before, or find a widower that you haven't met before and try to get to know them. Maybe that's at a BK lunch. Maybe that's through a welcome home dinner. Whatever we can do, try to meet the needs of our widows. And most of all, what we need to do is to listen and to be present. Now, at the end of every service, we want to offer the invitation to those who have needs. These needs might be the prayers of the congregation. These needs might be you're ready to put on the waters of baptism and commit your life to Christ. Whatever your need is, come now as we stand and sing.